It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. I put out three brand new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Monica Bellucci. We're going to be talking with the actress about her portrayal as Maria Callas in Maria Callas Letters and Memoirs. It's a one-person show that she's actually been performing in since 2019, off and on, all over the world. And it's going to wrap up later in January in New York at the Beacon Theater. So we're going to hear about what it's been like portraying this character over this many years, how that affects how you approach a role and how it affects everything else you do. She's also going to tell us how she got the role, her thoughts on the famed opera singer, and which operas she uses in her preparation, as well as the difference between playing a musician as opposed to some of her other roles. She also even tells us that there's going to be a documentary about this whole thing. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Of course, Monica, you know, has a rich history of some great roles. We're talking, she's been a Bond girl in Spectre back in 2015. She played Persephone in a couple of the Matrix sequels. I want to ask her about, you know, if she was asked back for the fourth one that came out just, what was that, last year? She's also got a role coming up in a movie called Mafia Mama opposite Toni Collette, so we're going to hear a little bit about that as well. All that and more, talking about Maria Callas, Letters and Memoirs. It's Kyle Meredith with Monica Bellucci.
Hello.
Such a pleasure to meet you. You've been doing Maria Callas' Letters and Memoirs. You've got another show coming up at the Beacon in New York on January 27th. And this is something you've been doing for a few years now, right? Since 2019, I think, at least. What's it been like actually sort of being in a character off and on for this long?
But, you know, when you like one project, then, you know, you like to give life to a character that is so important for you, because maybe it touches something that you can really know what it is. It's something deep. And this is what happened, actually, when I met this incredible woman, Maria Callas, because actually in our show, we represent more Maria than Callas. And the thing is that it's a new approach for me completely. I learned so many things about my work, and even my relation with the public is a new thing for me, because is completely different from cinema. It's so direct. It's like if we share the same breath for 1 hour and a half. And there is something very sincere, very artisanal in the process of making a show. It's not something that I get bored, actually, because every time I'm so scared, and it's like the first time, each time, because we change theaters all the time and languages. We do the show in three different languages, French, Italian, and English. So it's not like if I get used to. And every time I say to myself, why I'm doing this, actually, you know, because it's such a strong emotion. It takes me 2 days after each show to go back to normal, because all the theaters are very big. With so many people. And we started in Paris 3 years ago, as you said, in a nice, beautiful, small theater. So the thing is that we started in Marigny, which is a small theater in Paris, like 400 people. And then we were in Greece, in Herode Atticus, with 4,000 people each night. And so, I mean, And every time is a new experience. And then we went to Italy. We did the Rome, Paris, London. We did Istanbul, Greece, Portugal, Monte Carlo. So, you know, for the first time in New York. So in some way, when everything started, because Tom Wolfe, did this beautiful documentary about Maria Callas, and called Maria by Callas, and he did a beautiful research including into Maria's letters, and those letters were so beautiful that he had the idea to make a show, and he asked me to be part of it. And then when I read the letters and the memoirs, they were so full of emotions and vulnerability that I couldn't say no, because I had really the feeling that I could touch her soul. And the first time I met Maria Callas as a character was when I did a TV series called Mozart in the Jungle. I was making a research about opera singers. So and then, of course, you know, I've done research about Caballé and Trebko and Maria Callas, but I knew the artist, I knew the great opera singer and the actress, because she was also an amazing actress somewhere, but not the person. And through those letters and memoirs, I really felt that she was such an incredible person, because what really moved me into this project was the duality between the diva and the divina, the donna's immense talent, and a woman with a simple heart, the one who died of sadness, of broken heart.
And to keep coming back to it, and hearing about, of course, those threads, as you said, even back to Mozart in the Jungle. And, well, I mean, we've all, I think, if you're a music fan or even just a pop culture fan, you know, a lot of us have heard of Maria Callas through the years. Were you an opera fan as well? I mean, what's your general musical lane?
But I mean, of course, some operas. Yeah, of course, like La Tosca, you know, all those incredible Norma Tosca, all those incredible operas. And the one I was hearing all the time before going on scene was Carmen. And there is one special Carmen that she represents in Hamburg. And she was incredible at that moment, not just because she was a great, incredible performer, but also because I could feel a woman in love. So she was full of energy. And when she's singing this Carmen, this special one, really She gave me so much energy, and that's why I used to love to hear these colors before going on scene, because it was just so alive, so full of emotion, and she was fire.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Monica Bellucci.
Well, and it should be pointed out, I mean, as we talk about, while you are playing an opera singer, you're playing the Maria parts. And so this isn't a musical, but you've I was looking back at some of the points you've dipped your toe into the music world. Anita and the Girl in the Fountain soundtrack, you're on that. You recently collaborated with Ibrahim Malouf, which I love what that guy does and everything. But when you're doing a musician,
no, say I was talking, not singing.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But you kind of come into the music world a little bit like that. When you're taking on a musician, though, even in a non-musical parts, like, is there something else that you have to give it because that side of it is there?
I think the way how you pose your voice, because even though you don't sing, but you have to give an emotion, a strong emotion. So the way how you project the voice, the way how you represent the different period of time, because actually in the beginning, I mean, as I said, in the play, we depict more Maria than Callas. So we represent different parts of our life. So even the voice is changing during the show, because in the beginning, she's very young, full of hope, discovery of success and everything. And then there is her maturity, tainted with the difficulty of finding a balance between her work and her private life. And then the last years of her life, where she handled her melancholy with extreme elegance. So, the voice changed all the time. And so it becomes voices like music, in another way, but you project a sound, and people, they need to feel something through your voice. So it's an instrument. Not like you're singing, but is an instrument anyway.
Well, I was going to say, you made a point to say that you weren't singing on those collaborations, but it was still very musical. And I know a lot of folks who would still count on some musicians, even with just talking. Those are fantastic collaborations, by the way, just compliments on that. Do you all talk? Is this just for the stage? Is there a version of what you all are doing now that could make it to the screen as well?
We are doing a documentary about this long tour that we made in 3 years. And it's such a coincidence, actually, that we end in New York, because Maria Callas was born in New York in 1923, and we end the show in 2023. So it's such a beautiful coincidence, actually.
That's, yeah, wow. I hadn't put that together. And dates and how your birthday is September 30th, correct?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Mine too. I just, not that means, but nice coincidence on birthdays there. That's as I talk about a little bit about movies, I know we got a few minutes left. You got Mafia Mama coming up with Toni Collette. I saw the trailer on that. I don't know what you can say about it. What was that experience like, especially working with Toni?
Well, Toni, she's amazing. She has an incredible energy, and we really love to work together. And it was very fun to make this comedy about mafia, but with a feminine twist. So we shot between New York and Rome. And so I can't wait to see the movie, because I haven't seen the movie yet.
Well, it looks like it goes along the line of you playing these powerful women. I mean, whether it's Maria, even whether it's Persephone back in The Matrix, which, by the way, were you asked? I mean, they didn't bring you back for the new one, right? Was that ever brought up? Did you that you might have been in the new series?
No, actually, no. But for me, it was such a beautiful experience to be part of that project, really. And it was fun because, as I said, at the time I was in Paris and I went to see Matrix and I said, oh my God, I would love to be in a movie like that. And then I went to Los Angeles, I did a screen test and I had the chance to work in this project. I was so happy, really. It was an amazing moment for me.
Would you have come back if the character had been written?
Why not?
Why not? That's true. But that's it. You know, again, and I'll end with this, is that as we talk about these strong characters, I mean, even, you know, that word is thrown around with diva, like in A Girl in the Fountain. I guess the simple question is, what draws you to these type of roles that you do so
Absolutely.
Well?
But our opportunity, they come to you. You know, it's easy to make choices when the opportunity come and to play those women. But at the same time, Anita Ekberg and Maria Callas, they were in the same period of time, if we think about it, you know. Women in a man's world, some way. So they were fighters. And I think that women today learn a lot from a woman like that. Even my father, she was a fighter because she wanted to divorce in a moment where divorce was forbidden in Italy. And also she had the courage to follow her heart. And not many women have the possibility to live life with such a strong emotion. And so when people say that she had a tragic life, maybe we should say that she led a brave life.
The greatest pieces of art are ones that can take in the past and make it speak to the present. And I think a lot of what you're saying is, you know, so important that we hear today. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing because we're such a fan of what you do every single time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Monica, and again, congratulations on this amazing run as Maria Callas, and I'm looking forward to seeing the documentary and this final show again, The Beacon in New York, January 27th. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Thank you.
And my thanks, Monica Bellucci, Maria Callas, Letters and Memoirs, final performance at the Beacon Theater, January 27th. Big thanks to Monica, and thanks to you as well for hanging out and checking out the episode. Before you get out, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, you do that, you'll get 3 brand new interviews sent to your listening device every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they're at all the usual spots, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also catch me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.